We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Tuesday, October 19th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Goh, and this is Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You. We're powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. Another wonderful weekend of NFL action. A weekend where if you bet on the favorites, you probably win a lot of money this weekend. All the favorites outside of just a couple covered, and it was a weekend of some pretenders being noticed, some contenders stepping out in some big games this weekend. Gabe, we are rested and recovered from our college show last night, and how are you doing, buddy? And we had a lot of NFL that was fun this weekend.
God, so we're good, and we hit the ground running on Monday morning because, boy, the take makers came out hot with the Lamar takes. That's all anyone wanted to talk about. And they all acted like it was some big surprise that this guy can actually play some ball. Everyone thinks they got an original take that he's maybe the MVP. Hello, he was a unanimous MVP a couple years ago. He proved he can do it all. Now we're acting like it's a surprise he can pass. Jeff, they're 5-1. He looks great. He's everyone's MVP choice, including yours. Can we stop pretending that this is surprising? They're a damn good team. After beating my Chargers, of course the Ravens look legit.
Yeah, so one of the teams that really stood out again this weekend was Baltimore, right? They played the Chargers. They won 34-6 in a dominating game, your Chargers. And Lamar's playing better than he was his MVP season. So he has 2,078 total scrimmage yards this year. 392 of those are rushing yards. I just looked this up, and obviously some teams have only played 5 games. But how many teams does he have more total yards than, would you guess?
I would guess at least 5 or 10.
17 teams he has more total yards. He's having a fabulous season. And look, I don't know how many years do I have to admit I was wrong about Lamar? Like, is there statute limitations on that? Or just have to keep repeating that? Yeah, so I was wrong about Lamar. I didn't think he'd be this good. I think what we're really seeing this year, more than anything, is just he's expanded his passing game. And something that we have talked about for a couple years now is the passing game in general, I think, of Baltimore has been expanded. They are doing so much of a better job of hitting kind of those intermediate routes. He's more accurate, I think, as a passer in total. I know people will probably pull up some analytics. Jeff Schwartz, you're wrong. He was this. I don't, guys, I watch a lot of football. I feel like he's just a better passer this year. I don't. Maybe the numbers will say otherwise, but he looks better, right, Gabe? He looks like a better passer. He's more accurate. He's hitting guys where they're supposed to be hit on time, in rhythm. And that includes some drop passes that, you know, by Hollywood Brown against the Lions. I mean, this number should be more. And yes, he has been behind and had to come back in some games. So those numbers are higher than maybe other years because he wasn't behind by 19 points in the fourth quarter against Indianapolis, right? Or whatever it was in that game. But he deserves credit for coming back because we give that same credit to all the other quarterbacks, right? And it's been very impressive to watch him play. And guys, he's doing this with the most players in the NFL in injured reserve. 16 players in injured reserve right now. And they're getting some of those guys back, but it's a new offensive line with a lot of guys hurt. Again, really, not a number one wide receiver yet. Bateman's back now. We'll see how that goes. With the offensive coordinator, who we've questioned his passing scheme, right, for years now, Greg Roman, we know can do the run game, but can he do the passing game? And with Lamar, too, it's also, again, They've changed the emphasis of what he has to do for this team. For a long time, for the most part, it was, we're going to run the ball, play defense, play action pass. But now they're behind in games. Like it's the Lamar Jackson show, right? And he right now, in my opinion, is the MVP. He has to do more for the team than, let's say, Kyler Murray does. I mean, look, MVP in general is so watered down. I just can't stand that we talk about it. Just it's supposed to be most valuable player, right? Not like just best player on a team. I mean, he is that valuable. Again, 2,078 all-purpose yards, that's more than 17 teams in the NFL, right? It's more, believe it or not, than the Bengals, the Seahawks, the Packers. He has more total yards right now than the Packers do on offense. The Patriots, the Lions, look, and then some teams have played only five games. If you would like it to be known, your Jets are last in total yards, by the way, and only five games for them too. So it's been really impressive. He deserves the praise. I will say this, though. We've got to stop doing this in the way we cover sports. Is we take one outlandish opinion that someone made one time, and that's like the talking point for the rest of someone's career. One person said Lamar Jackson should be a running back. That was it. And it was just Bill Polian. And maybe that's what he heard from someone else. I don't know. He's going to answer for that. He was wrong. But no one else said that. And every time Lamar's a good game, it's like, great job for a running back. Like, yeah, one person said that. Even me, who did not like him out of college, right? I go off the accuracy that he did not have in college. Saw him play early in his career. Didn't really have that. I don't love the offense in the playoffs still. I'm like fast forward to the playoffs. He's like, we know they're going to win football games. They are. Now, they have the toughest schedule, according to Football Outsiders, the rest of the season. They play in a tough division, right? The Bills have the easiest. So the Bills are probably going to have the one seed, and Baltimore's going to have to go there at some point. So it's kind of, I want to fast forward to the postseason for them. But like, we got to stop doing that every time he has a good game. Like, we get it. That one person was wrong. He was very wrong. Like, guys like me, I was wrong about him too. I never said he should play running back. Like, that. Like, why are we still doing this thing every time he plays well, Gabe, where it's, oh, good for a running back? One guy said that. Can we let that go, please?
Yeah, well, I agree. Obviously, I'd love to let it go. I think it's good of you to separate yourself from almost every person out there and just saying, and I was wrong. Everyone was wrong. The whole league was wrong about this guy. Maybe Bill Polian even more than most. But I think what bothers me and others, Mina Kimes, I see all tweeting about this, is this idea that like we're forgetting, like he was a great passer the year he won MVP. It was just a couple of years ago when he was like 22. Now he's 24. You know, he set 1,000 records already this season. I can't even bother to list them all. But why did we fall for the notion that he wasn't a very good passer? Like, he just happened to be exceptionally good runner. So that got
I'll tell you why. I think when we look at that offense again, it was so generated by play action pass that a lot of us are like, well, we want to see a more traditional, third and eight. How do you do in those situations, right? How do you do in those high leverage, high stress situations? And also, look, the big games matter, right? He had not beaten the Chiefs till this season. The offense has not been as good in the playoffs as it has in the regular season. Those games matter to how we judge players, fair or foul, than does beating up on the Lions, right? Like, that's the way we look at this. And remember, that's now 2 years ago. I know it sounds weird that it was 2 years ago, but Pat Mahomes won the MVP in 2018. Like, we're like, he has one bad half, and everyone's like, I'm out on him. I don't want him anymore. So I'm not sure we've forgot about that, but we've just said he's, at least for me, He's grown as a passer since then. I think he's a better thrower of the football now. And I love the kid, man. Like, I've never said anything. I never really talk about anyone. I never talk anyone about anyone personally. I mean, that's silly, and I don't know him. But everything about him and his shirt, right? Like, the no excuses, just play better shirt. I love it, all of it. I love all of it. And he's right now through 6 weeks, he's doing some great things. And look, again, I feel like for Baltimore, it's like just fast forward to the playoffs, right? Because they're going to win. They've won, and this is why we took their over this year. They win a bunch of regular season games. Great. Good. You're supposed to do that. But like, let's fast forward to, like, maybe it's late January and you're in Ralph Wilson Stadium. It's -3 degrees and you're playing the Bills and you got to win that game, right? I mean, that's how we ultimately judge a lot of quarterbacks. Again, fair or foul on that. But what do you do in big moments, in big games? And he's getting better this year, right? Beat the Chiefs. Big comeback against the Colts. Dominated the Chargers. Now, the game yesterday wasn't as much about him as it was about his team just steamrolling the Chargers. I mean, Lamar, I think, had 200-ish total yards. It wasn't like his best game. But I think it's important to point out the injuries, right? I mean, this is, guys, I'm going to pull up the stat right now. They have the most injuries in the NFL, as I said. And I believe the Lions are next in injuries. The Lions, yes, right here. So the most players injured reserve. Ravens, 16 guys. They're 5-1. Lions have 14 guys injured reserve, and they're 0-6. Like, I cannot tell you how impressive it is for the team and for Lamar Jackson to have this team playing so well with all these injuries. And yes, look, should they have lost the Lions game? Fine, I guess. But after the entire season, that stuff kind of evens out, right? And they won that Lions game. They won the Colts game. Yeah, they had some things go their way, but they made the most of their breaks and they ended up winning those games. And so they deserve credit for that.
All right. Well, then last thing, because you've, even in your criticisms, you have said, let me see you do it in January. And you're saying that a little bit today. So was there anything, though, about now it's he can come from behind. They aren't just front runners who get up big and then pound you. They're now finding ways to win and they're beating different types of defenses because Alex Smith at ESPN, funny to say that, was pointing out that Chargers were playing cover two in their red zone defense. And I don't know what the hell to make of that, but like defenses are now having to respect him as a passer in a way that I don't think we have seen in the past. And I'm just curious if maybe this, let me see you do it in January. You're more of a front runner than a come from behind guy. Is that still how you feel?
Well, so the cover two thing is definitely about, you know, you keep two safeties for the passing game, especially in how much they use the seams. And then you obviously try to stop the front with less guys in the box. And in the red zone, there's only two coverages mostly you play in the red zone. You play quarters or you just play man or cover zero. That's not that surprising. But, you know, I would imagine that against the Ravens, teams have tried to kind of focus on the box in the red zone more than the passing game. And that obviously seems to teams have to focus on the passing game now because he's making them pay. And look, we always judge quarterbacks by how they perform in these big moments. It's nothing to do with a Lamar Jackson thing, right? I mean, we judge quarterbacks. We've judged Tom Brady for years. How do you play in the postseason? How do you play in big games? And that's not unusual to how we look at Lamar Jackson. What other quarterback, and we said this about, we're going to talk about the Browns in a second, we're going to talk about the Bills, Josh Allen, like, we've always said this, at least I have been very consistent about this. Show me what you do in the big games, right? The I want to see what you do in the 5 or 10% of big moments in a season when you have to be extra. And so far in this season, Lamar has done that in the regular season. And I trust he will. I said this year, they're going to win, I thought they were going to win 12 games and finish second in the AFC North. They're probably going to win the AFC North now, and they're going to finish with 13 or 14 wins. So they'll have plenty of opportunity to do this in January.
All right, so Jeff, let's stay with some quarterbacks. You mentioned a few other teams we're going to get to. Let's stay with a quarterback who's very much in the MVP conversation and a team who I think everyone's already fitting for a ring. That's Dak and the Dallas Cowboys. Now, it doesn't mean a whole lot to me that Tony Romo is claiming they're built to win a Super Bowl with this, you know, this roster. I think we have to take a little bit of Tony Romo with a grain of salt on the Cowboys. But everyone else in the sports media right now, if they aren't in love with the Ravens, they're in love with the Cowboys. And I just have to remind people, okay, they barely beat a bad team. All right, they had 115 yards of penalties on Sunday. They couldn't stop Mac Jones, a rookie, and Damian Harris. I barely know who that is. Everyone thinks Diggs is Dion. That's nonsense. Dak's the MVP. Let's chill. They're 5-1. Okay, but they barely beat the Chargers week two, and the four teams they've beat since have a combined record of 8-16. Pump brakes, Cowboys. You're not that good.
Well, 567 yards against the Patriots. No matter how much you hate the Patriots, Gabe, that defense is not, it's not that bad. And the Cowboys did that, racking up a bunch of penalties and playing some sloppy football. This game should not have been close, right? They had two plays at the end zone that were end up being turnovers, right? They threw an interception that hit off someone, picked off, and that sequence with the quarterback sneak. It looked like Dak was in on the third down play. I think he was in. They fumbled a fourth down. I mean, they could have had easily 14 more points in that game, had another fourth down early in the game that they did not convert on that led to a Patriots touchdown. They should have won this game going away, but they didn't, right? They didn't because, as you mentioned, Diggs Deion Sanders had a pick six and then also allowed the most yards in the NFL as a cornerback, but also has like 7 or 8 interceptions and 3 touchdowns. And so everyone's looking at him and in a different way because of what he's doing. But Deion didn't allow that many yards. I promise you that. I've said all along, it's very simple with Dallas. Dak's playing great. He's going to win comeback player of the year. Yep. And he's going to be the MVP talk. Defensively, it was their defense going to be just a little bit better. And guess what, guys? It is just a little bit better. It's all it needs to be. And their schedule is pretty easy because they have a last place schedule. They have the Vikings, okay, next weekend in Minnesota. They're off this week. Then the Broncos and Falcons. So they're most likely going to end up being 8-1. Then it's the Chiefs in Kansas City. Then it's the Raiders. Then it's the Saints. And then it's 4 out of 5 winnable games because they play their Washington twice, the Giants, Eagles, and the Cardinals. So they're going to finish probably 13-4. And they're going to finish in the 2 or 3 seed. And they're going to have multiple home games in the playoffs. And the one thing holding them back, and your buddy Nick Wright said this. It's pretty interesting. It's a bold take, but I think it makes a lot of sense. If they want to win Super Bowl this year, transition Mike McCarthy to like senior analyst something and elevate Kellen Moore to be the head coach because their decisions when it comes to fourth down, actually the data shows they go for enough on fourth down, but the end of game situations are Mike McCarthy is absolutely clueless. He has no idea when to go for the end of games. He set up for a 51-yard field goal with one of the best offensive lines of football on a team, again, that was racking up 7 yards of play. The clock management, even in that moment, right? They wasted 12, 13 seconds. They kicked the ball too soon. Like, McCarthy's management might hold them out of being the team they think, Gabe. But for once in our lifetimes, the last time, I don't even know when, this hype is absolutely real for the Cowboys.
I don't quite understand how to square everything you just said. Because you're saying Diggs is putting up great numbers, but also giving up a ton of yards. Dak.
Well, yeah, it's hard to, the Diggs thing is, look, I'm not a defensive back. I'm not kind of coming here and be an expert. He needs to stop allowing so many yards. If he had 3 less interceptions, we would think differently.
Yeah, but so I'm just using him as an example of like every good, there's an equal bad to go with it, right? So, you know, they have this great record, but they also play a crap schedule. They are winning these close games, but their coach doesn't actually know how to manage close game situations when it counts. So like, I don't really think that I'm supposed to take these guys seriously when the 3 or 4 games they're going to have to play in January include the Bucs, Rams, Packers. I mean, you know, there's a few other teams out there that also look better, but like, do we really think they're going to get on a heater and that McCarthy's going to make all the right calls and the defense is going to hold up against the best offenses in the NFC? Like, I just think they're obviously a regular season team. They're a Tony Romo type Dallas team.
Okay, but here's the thing is, Gabe, is they're just supposed to play the teams on their schedule, right? It's like, what are they supposed to do?
They get credit, you know? Like, good for them. So they're like a Notre Dame or Clemson. Like, cool, man. Cool wins against all those teams that you played. Like, you have to win a championship, though, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's why I think we're going to see their schedule with Kansas City coming up. And they're at New Orleans. And I mean, they only have a couple of games in their schedule that you would consider to be test. But so far, they played two playoff teams. They lost by 2, and they won the other game, which was the Chargers. That's all they can do is play the teams on their schedule. And right now, they're kicking those teams' asses. And that's what matters. And when it comes to the postseason, Gabe, yes, you might be right that they get to the postseason, it's like, oh, shit, we're playing Tampa. We're playing the Packers. Or we're playing the Cardinals. And we're just not as good this year. We have to continue to improve. Fine. But as of right now, the numbers would tell you, my eyeballs would tell me, the way they're playing and where they're good at. I mean, Randy Gregory has been a revelation on the defense line. He's getting like a lot of money. Tank Lawrence isn't even playing yet. Their offensive line, Dak Prescott, the guys on the skill position players on offense, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And again, can they win a Super Bowl, Gabe? I don't know. We have a home playoff game at least against against who? Who's gonna play in the playoffs here? I'm gonna look right now. I'm telling you, like the bottom of the.
But while you look, these aren't the Detroit Lions, where making the playoffs and winning a game is the goal. Like, this is the Dallas Cowboys.
Right now they'd be playing the Rams, which is obviously, we'll see how that division shakes out. But I mean, Gabe, for where they've been, they're playing some good football, especially after last season. Like, you have to, I know you want to hate on all the good teams and hate the Cowboys, but they're doing some good things, as I mentioned. Their defense is about 10th in efficiency. Their offense is one of the best in the NFL. Dak's an MVP candidate. You know, the Chiefs, by the way, might not even be a test for them because the Chiefs can't stop anyone. I will say, though, they shut out the Bills the second half the other day, or they gave up 7 points. They play well against, better against Washington. The Chiefs' defense looks a little bit better. But it might not even be a test for the Cowboys till they play the Saints. Like, and, but they can only play teams on their schedule. Like, we were in 2013 in Kansas City. We started 9-0, right? We played teams on our schedule. Wasn't great. We got our asses kicked by the Broncos. We finished 11-5, and we lost a playoff game. Like, that could happen to them, too. It could. But that is, you can only judge them based off who they played so far, and so far they're playing good football.
All right, fine. So let's talk about Diggs for one more second, because every other show out there is. He was, like, front and center in the most critical point in that game, right? So he has the ball gets batted around. He comes up with it. He runs it in for a touchdown. Like you said, he's setting all kinds of records, unbelievable stats for a corner. But it occurs to me that Mac Jones and, you know, and the Patriots very quickly realize something. And on the very next play, he falls for a little double move, is completely exposed. Patriots go to the house. And it seems to me that a smart person who's just watched how he jumps the ball and watched how sort of loose he is in an attempt to always make a play can take advantage of him whenever they want. And so if you ask Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, I'll even put Matt Stafford in this category, to expose that kid who's playing some nice ball but still a kid, like, that's going to happen every time. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, he's going to have to work on that. And when a guy is this kind of type of ball hawk, you're going to get double moved because they're thinking that you're going to, to be susceptible to that. And he's going to have to work on that. He might have to turn down interceptions just to play better defense at some points. And he's still a young kid, second year in the NFL. It's 100% an issue moving forward that will get him if he's not as good as eye discipline as he should be, trying to get home runs when he just needs to kind of stay in front of his guy. So it is a problem. And we'll find out, obviously, you know, where that becomes an issue. It's not going to be the next couple of weeks, but it might be against Kansas City or New Orleans, the Cardinals, or the playoffs. But yes, he needs to work on that 100%.
Okay. All right, let's talk about these three scary 3-3 teams that are lurking in the AFC. And listen, I'm just here to tell you, Jeff, the Steelers are the scariest because you don't see them coming, all right? I know they barely beat the Seahawks with Geno Smith, but TJ Watt is unreal. Ben can sort of maybe still make a play when he really needs to. The Chiefs are better. The Browns have a better roster when they're healthy, but the Steelers are scarier because of that insane defense. I would not want to run into them in the postseason.
The defense, this is the defense that allowed 20 points the second half to Geno Smith and the Seahawks, right? That same defense?
Yeah, and then the defense that won the game for them in the final
I'm just curious because I thought that when you play a backup quarterback and it gets an offense that can't really rush the football, like you wouldn't allow 20 points in the second half. I might
so
be
you're
salty
not a believer in their defense?
I am, but I might be salty because I ended up having Steelers -5 and they just shit the bet again because why would they
you
not?
That might be the issue that's biasing you here.
No, it's definitely not. no, their offense is atrocious. Their defense is really good, but I'm not buying what Ben has thrown out there. It's just bad.
So you're 0% scared of the Steelers.
No, it looks painful when he throws the football when he has to move. Like I'm in physical pain watching him move around the pocket for the ball. Like it's just doesn't look like it should. Like it doesn't look bad. Like it doesn't pain you, Gabe. I'm like, oh
yeah,
Ben,
no. I mean,
like,
it's
please, like just just it looks bad. It looks tough. No, and they're not, I'm not worried about them. You mentioned the Browns. I'm disappointed in them, Gabe. I might have been too high on the Browns. I don't know. They played three playoff teams, okay? They were leading the second half against Kansas City, lost. Leading by two touchdowns against your now Chargers and lost. Chargers. And they got their ass kicked by Arizona. If you closed your eyes, really not closed your eyes, you opened your eyes, but you closed your eyes and watched this game, you would think that the Browns were the team without the head coach, without the best pass rusher, without their starting center, with all these excuses built in to lose that game. They got their ass kicked. Yeah, yes, the Browns were without both tackles. Beckham Mayfield's a little beat up. Jarvis Landry didn't play. Nick Chubb didn't play. But that doesn't excuse the no-show. And they got their asses handed to them. We talked about this entire offseason, about the depth the Browns had. They scored 7 points in this game outside of a Hail Mary. Like, yep. Where's this depth at? Where's the depth at? Where's all this at? Show me where we're supposed to believe in you guys now. Because so far, you've been three non-playoff teams, and you've got your asses kicked in the second half of two of those games and the entire game against the three playoff teams you played. Shortly against the Broncos on Thursday with a really beat-up team. You have to use that time to get right after the game. Got Pittsburgh, got a Bengals team that I don't quite buy yet, but they're at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's 4-2. Like, the Browns have the pieces to do it, but I don't know if I trust them.
Well, no, you've been pretty clear since I've known you that they're not worth trusting. They get credit in their front office, I think, for building a really deep roster that seems great, but now all those guys are hurt, and I don't see anyone stepping up. We felt like they had two guys at every position, but...
Sorry, this is when your quarterback has to step up. Lamar Jackson did it in Baltimore.
That's
right. It's not who Baker is.
I'm glad that you found a way to sneak in the shot at Baker. That was an appropriate time.
They have a tough decision. They have to pay Baker Mayfield in the offseason or not. Like, they have to make this decision. And I don't know how you decide to make this call after this season you're about to have.
Yeah, I don't think that they will keep him because they make so many other smart moves and have built what seems like such a strong roster with him as the one question mark everyone can identify. And I think that they could get more value for him if he was, well, if they could move him, they would, but I guess they can't really. So I can see him ending up in like Houston or someplace where, you know, winning 9 games and being exciting is good enough for the fans. I mentioned the other scary 3-3 team there. So this is just your chance to mention the Chiefs do look pretty good. Pat made some crazy, crazy plays. You've never been panicked about them, but we always have to ask about the Chiefs. Where's your head on them and how much better they seem to be after another week with a win?
Yeah, so the most important part of this is their defense that shut out the Washington football team in the second half. Offensively, three just in the first half mistakes, Gabe. I mean, right, like ball goes out of Tyreek Hill's hand into another defender. Again, fourth time this year, a wide receiver dropped the ball, went right through his hands. Mecole Hardman, just an awful fumble. And then Mahomes had the worst play of his career. I do not know what he was doing. Terrible turnover. Came out of the second half, scored 3 touchdowns, going away, not a concern. Again, I said this, Gabe. If you're a playoff team, you're a fan of a playoff team, you're Buffalo. You're the number one seed. Okay, number one seed. Here come the Chiefs at some point in the playoffs to Buffalo. You excited about that game?
No, I don't want that.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen, right? Like, you just they're still alive. You know, it reminds me, and this is not really a fair comparison because they're not the New England Patriots. But it reminds me of all those times that people count out New England, right? Like, oh, this is the year, guys. It's the year. Brady lost that. Was it 2014 when they lost that game to the Chiefs on Monday Night Football? And everyone's like, Brady's done. He's still playing like 8 years later.
Yeah.
This feels a lot like that where people were like, "Who? Mahomes is the 14th best quarterback in the NFL now. What? Like, what are we talking about, guys? I would not want to play Kansas City if their defense, and their defense went from 32nd to 31st in DVOA. So we got a little jump, Gabe. They're going to be fine when January rolls around.
Okay. So if I was sort of talking about three scary 3-3 teams, your order of scariness still goes Chiefs by a lot. You're not even a little bit scared of the Steelers. And only if somehow the Browns roster gets healthy, are you kind of scared of them? So it sounds like Chiefs are the only borderline playoff team that still looks scary. Got it.
Yes.
All right. Jeff, I got a lot of other stuff I want to ask you about, including some big college vacancies, coaching vacancies that are going to have a lot of people's attention this week, and a few other games that we haven't covered. We'll do that all in Moving the Line after a quick break.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, welcome back to Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. He still is. Jeff, time to move the line, a little over-under game. So I'm going to kind of break format slightly on this one. Please rank these head coaching jobs. Three we already know will be open. One we expect. You wanted to go take a job as a head coach. Do you want to be the Raiders coach next year? The Jags coach next year? USC? Or now LSU? All of them in different states of openness, but let's assume all four of those are open in the offseason.
Well, I would prefer to be in the NFL. So I'll go Raiders first. You're in Las Vegas. You're in Las Vegas.
All right.
And you have Derek Carr, and you have Pete, and you have an owner that I think wants to spend money. You know, and you probably can be the GM because you know Gruden was the GM. The funniest thing, by the way, was when Gruden was fired or resigned, and then Mark Davis came out and said, "Well, now Mayock has 51% of the roster decisions, and the new coach has 49%. Like, how does that work? And you basically confirm that Gruden made all the decisions beforehand, right?
Yeah.
Then I'll go LSU. They've won three titles in 18 years. USC has that'd be zero titles in 18 years. And then I'll go USC next. And then Jacksonville. Who wants to? I mean, Jacksonville might as well be in London in like 2 years. I don't want to coach Jacksonville.
Okay. And do you think any of these openings, well, first of all, do you think any of the interim people will end up in charge? And do you think any of these openings will be competing for the same people?
USC and LSU definitely will. And the Raiders and Jaguars, I don't think he's gone, but I think the Raiders will be competing with, I don't know who they'll be competing with. I know LSU and USC will be competing for the same guys. I mean, there's like the same guys are being mentioned for every, James Franklin, right? Mario Cristobal, Luke Fickell, same guys for all these jobs. And LSU's AD in the past has swung and hit a bunch of home runs, whether it's Chris Peterson at Washington or Jimbo at A&M. So he's going to swing again for the fences.
All right. Well, yeah, we obviously are getting ahead of ourselves, giving the Jags job away. Urban, who may be very happy for all the other awful news in the NFL the last couple of weeks, seems to have fallen off the headline stack, the whole Urban Meyer situation, and they got a win this week. So maybe, you know, maybe the Jags start to get on a little bit of a streak, and we're not talking about him being out of a gig this offseason, but I'm still betting on that being an open.
He looked pained that they made that field goal the other day, the tie of the game. The physical pain. Dude, he looks, I've always admired coaches like Ron Rivera and Bill Belichick, Andy Reid. They had no emotion, man. They're just like, things happen in the game, just flatlined. And Urban, just emotions are just, even though I was watching college football, Georgia, Kentucky, like early in the game, Kirby Smart, Georgia's coach, is jumping up and down the sidelines, like holding his headset in, I'm like, coach, the game is 7 minutes old. What are we doing? Why are we this emotional during a football game? Calm the fuck down. Like, calm down. There's a lot of game left. It drives me nuts, right? It's just these guys, some guys are so emotional. What are we doing?
Yeah, and I worked in Bristol, as I've told people on this show before. We used to have a term, you called someone a gripper when they just like grip everything. They grip tapes or whatever it would be, grip too tight. And you didn't really want to be around a control room or an edit bay with a gripper. And I don't know about Kirby Smart, but there's a lot of coaches out there who could easily be described as a gripper. It's like, dude, you're making everyone tense. Just let's try to get through this. We're going to take a break soon. Don't worry. It's a weird trait.
Yes.
Well, let's use it as a segue. So the Cardinals, who seem like everyone's favorite team in the league right now, actually won a very decisive game this weekend against those Browns without their coach. And I don't think of Cliff Kingsbury as a gripper by any means, but like, man, they went in there and blew out another supposed playoff team without a head coach. I want to know, over under 23 and a half teams that could win a game without their head coach.
Okay, so the Raiders won their game without John Gruden the first week. Remember the playoff game last year? The Browns beat the Steelers without their coach.
Mm-hmm.
I just say abolish all head coaches. Just get rid of them. Just it was really look, the first plays are scripted, but that's it. I mean, and you know, luckily for I think I don't even know who ended up being the actual Vance Joseph for the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there, and even last year with Stefanski was out. This is also in the importance of hiring coaches that have also been head coaches before, right? Vance Joseph has been a head coach. But also, is I don't recall in this game or that game, like there wasn't like a fundamental decision that had to be made that could have cost them the game and the coach screwed that up, which is also very helpful. Now, of course, that doesn't always mean that Stefanski or any other head coach is going to be good at those. But it's kind of funny that we got this conversation, right? It's like, all right, well, I mean, these teams win other head coaches. Belichick, maybe they're better without Belichick on the sidelines.
I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder. And I remember last year talking to you about this when Stefanski was out and the Browns, you know, were down to like some like quality control coach or something was technically in charge on the sideline, but they had built such a strong organization. They were so clear in their purpose that actually they were able to just backfill, you know? And I've talked about this with people who work in production. Like, it shouldn't have to be that like only one person on earth can do the job well. You should build a depth chart. You should have people at every role who can step in and do a job, maybe even bring something new. But for the best team in the league to blow out another pretty good team without a head coach makes me wonder if the coach really makes a damn difference. And you've been critical of that coach on this show. Yeah. And that's why it made me chuckle.
But I also think that your point about, you know, the best people who run organizations have the depth, right? And this is an example of Arizona. They had an assistant coach, Vance Joseph, who'd been head coach before. Like, he was ready to go.
Yeah, he was thought of as one of those guys just a few years ago. Like, hey, maybe this guy's one of the better coaches around. So it was a weird coincidence to see a couple teams win that way, especially in a week where we're talking about one of the biggest names in college football being kind of like a, you know, I don't know. He's fired, but he's not fired. He's still sitting there. So, like, how are they going to?
I don't get why Eddie O is still on the coach of the team. It makes no sense.
It seems very strange. So we'll see. We'll see how the head coaches play it. Here's one from coaches to fans. I want to know over under 1.5 quarters until Giants fans are booing the home team when they play the Panthers at MetLife. This is coming from Leonard Williams basically complaining that Giants fans are booing them. He doesn't like it. This keeps happening in sports, and especially in New York. Aren't they just asking for more booze?
100%. Just shut up and play better. It's that simple, right? Like, you get booed when you don't play well. I played on bad teams. You get booed. Just play better and you won't get booed. It's that simple. You lost 38-3 in an NFL game. It's not Georgia Vanderbilt. It's an NFL game. Like, yeah, you get booed. These fans are paying a lot of money to see you suck. They're going to boo you. And they're going to boo you in the first three and out against the Panthers next weekend. Yeah, you play better football, man, and you won't get booed. Like, I'm tired of players complaining about booing.
So, but I mean, they're going to get asked about it. So what's the advice? Just say, yeah, I get it. You know, I get it. We didn't play well. I don't blame them for booing.
Yeah, we need to play better.
That's it. You just give them athlete speak and hope that the media move on, right? Because he just fed this by answering, I guess, honestly, when he said, they do bother me, honestly, when he was asked about the boos. So he should just say, like, yeah, it's... they can do what they want. It's just our job to play better.
It feels like, again, you're feeding the frenzy by admitting it gets to you. Just be like, yeah, we heard it. Wasn't great. Or, you know, I didn't like it, but I know why we're doing it. We just have to play better football.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, good luck to the Giants then, because I think they're going to hear it as loud as they've heard it in a few years. The other thing that's different about New York is, like, Jets fans expect the team to be bad. It's almost part of being a Jets fan is, like, that you kind of hate them. That's why I eventually just gave up. But Giants fans expect their team to be good. I mean, you know this. Like, they win it every few years. You know, in my lifetime, the Giants have been winners. So they really do take it hard when the team sucks, which explains it. Like, you got to be used to those boos.
Yeah, I mean, we got booed all the time. Been booed plenty of times. Like, you just have to play better football and you won't get booed.
Yeah. Well, this is a chance to bring up, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. So Aaron Rodgers runs the ball in, looks like vintage Aaron, like back in the day when he was moving around more. Basically ices the game against the Bears, and then the mic catches him saying, "I own you, I still own you," basically in the direction of a bunch of Bears fans. And then turns out, you know, there's video. He said they were giving him the middle finger. Of course they were.
There's a lot of video of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we all laughed about it. The media was laughing about it with Aaron after the game. And I guess I just want to know, like, is it just because it happened to get picked up on the mic that this is a story? Or, like, is there something special about that moment? It feels to me
it's a story because the mic picked it up. That's it.
All right. But do you think the mic did pick it up and he seemed super confident after, and they're on a hot streak themselves? We barely talked about them earlier. Doesn't Swaggy Rogers kind of terrify you? Like, we were worried if this guy still wanted it, and now he looks like he's never wanted it more. Isn't that a little terrifying if you play in the NFC?
It totally is. But the Packers, you know, they haven't really, they're very quiet 5-1 mm-hmm. Because they haven't won with the same ease we've seen in the past. I mean, you know, this was 24-14, right? They beat the Bengals by 3. They beat the Steelers by 10, Niners by 2, Lions by 17 or 18, I should say. But they've been really beat up, right? The offensive lineman out and Jair Alexander out. I mean, when they get guys back, we're going to realize how good they are. But I think also, Gabe, same with the Ravens, right? It's like, okay, you win a lot of regular season games. Like, you know, they were 26-6 in the regular season heading into this, under Matt LaFleur, heading into this year. What are they? They're 31-7. Like, okay. Do it in January, which they have. They've been to NFC Championship games. I think people are just waiting for that moment, waiting for the playoffs again with the Packers. We know what you can do. You can win regular season games. What can you do in January? That's why I think, and that's a good place to be for the Packers, right? The expectations are, let's see what we do in January.
Well, okay. Then I think they should pay a bunch more fans to sit in the front row every stadium they go to give double birds to Aaron Rodgers in January. Because whatever it takes, whether it's drafting some kid that he doesn't think the team needs, or, oh my gosh, imagine being given the middle finger by an opposing fan as you ruin his game. Like, whatever it takes to get Aaron Rodgers to care is what you got to do. He's in this like weird Zen place. Nothing rattles the dude. You got to get him a little pissed off if you want to win. So if I'm Packers fan, ownership or whoever, you know, the ownership group over there in Green Bay, I'm like paying guys to be trolls in the front rows of all my visiting games.
That's a great, I not thought about that, but that's a great, it's a great strategy.
All right, let's work on that. We can popularize that idea.
Interesting. So you pay. So everywhere you go,
yeah,
you just have a bunch of people in the stands flipping him off. I don't dislike that.
Like a political rally. Like, nah, those people aren't all showing up with all those crazy signs. Like, some of those people are kind of, you know, paid to be there. You do 100%. The very same thing. We just put the worst people you can possibly find right in the front row, and you just have them MFing Rodgers the whole game long.
What would the cost be for you to attend a political rally for an opponent you do not like just to get paid to be in the crowd?
Oh, for me personally?
Yeah.
I think I would not do that. But but my cost, if I didn't, I care a little too much about politics. If I didn't care very much, and I think most people don't care very much, I don't know, you know, $100.
After your political setback, are you gonna go for it again?
Yeah, I think I might run for a neighborhood council position again one day, Jeff. I've got to make a comeback.
How can I help you on social media? Is there a push I can make? You got to let me know.
When the time comes, I'll tell you what I need your help with. The problem is, you know, you talk a lot of shit about USC, and I'm appealing to a USC voting base. So I think you could be a real turnoff. I might want to distance my campaign from you when time comes.
Okay. Oh, good to know.
Yeah. You're not like, really.
I could definitely see the uppities in Manhattan Beach or Marina Del Rey be very upset that I knocked through the USC Trojans down a little bit.
That could cost me an election. So let's not go there. Hey, real quick, I don't know if you saw this video. It's kind of hard to describe, but over under 33% odds, Russ has a headset and a play sheet on the sidelines next week. This pregame video of him was just the stupidest thing I've seen all week.
He did actually have, he had a headphone and a play sheet on his arm. He wore like the play card on his arm during the game. And he was out there for the, look, man, it's funny. I tweeted out, so Russell Wilson before the game was caught doing a mock, like 2-minute drive on camera. What a surprise, yes. Right? The camera's watching the whole time. And I tweeted out like, does Russell Wilson ask for the cameras to be there, or do they just catch him doing it? So people were like, well, the cameras are always on, and they go on 90 minutes before. I go, I know, it's a joke. I don't, you have a mansplain me what the cameras do, okay? I know what the cameras are on. The point is that he, of course, got himself videotaped running a mock 2-minute drill before the game.
Yeah.
For what purpose? What are you doing? What are you? You could have done this yesterday. You could have done this when no cameras were around before the game. But you're like a tool, man. It's so corny. And then he's out there at the second half. He's out there in the overtime coin toss. Bro, you're on injured reserve. You're not playing. Let someone else do it. Yeah. Let someone else do it.
Yeah, corny is the right word. And he's obviously a great player. And he's not doing anything to harm anyone. There's no, like, he just looks dorky. It's not hurting anyone's feelings. It's not, maybe it's an attempt to distract from the guys out on the field, but it doesn't seem like it's being done with malice. He's just a dork, you know? He's a lovable enough dork. Do you think he's going to be in Seattle next year? I sort of asked you about this a couple weeks ago. Do you really think he'll be there?
I don't know. What if Pete Carroll goes back to USC, though?
I thought about that. I wondered about that.
Yeah.
I don't know which is more likely. Pete Carroll leaves to go back to SC, or I think Wilson, Russell leaves to go get a ring somewhere.
I think Wilson's done in Seattle. They don't have a first-round pick this year. Like, I think he realized that he has to leave to win a championship now. If he wants to win another championship, he's got to leave.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd like to see him compete for one. He's fun. When Russ is at his best, he's a lot of fun.
But is he willing to kind of do what it takes to get out?
You mean piss people off and fight for himself? I don't know. What does he call himself? Mr. Unbelievable? What the hell's his name?
Mr. Who gives a shit? Mr. Unlimited or something? I don't know. Something stupid.
Okay. All right, Jeff, real quick. We always like to keep track of the stuff people are streaming in the last little segment here. Number of weeks before Jeff realizes he should be watching Succession, over under 2.5 from now.
Oh, jeez.
I know you're very busy. I know. I did the
Squid Games, though.
Don't give anything away. I'm not all.
Would you have been? I would have been dead. I would never made it through. Would you have made it through?
I've only seen a few episodes, Jeff, so I don't want any spoilers here for me or for anyone listening. No, I would not have made it through the first episode of.
Oh, I would have made it through Red Light, Green Light.
You really think so?
Yeah.
You think you can stop?
I have great
body control.
You get
that big body moving. You think you can stop on a dime?
Yes. And if the old man can do it, do you even finish the series yet? So I'll stop right there.
No, don't. Just leave it.
If
right
old
there.
Man, I could have. Have you done tug of war yet? Have you gone there yet?
Nope. I just got finished with the weird one where they're licking. Sugar candy things.
Looking the sugar candy. I mean, licking sugar candy is right up my alley. That'd been great.
That one I would see you succeeding at. That seems like something you'd be very good at.
I told you before. The first episode I ever saw, I watched it backwards. Not backwards. My wife was watching Red Light, Green Light. Imagine coming downstairs after finishing radio. And you're watching. Actually, you know what? I think it was the night we recorded Monday night instead of mm-hmm. Monday. So we're at 10 o'clock coming downstairs and Red Light, Green Light's on. And I'm like, what's happening? And I went back and watched it. It's very good. The ending will surprise you.
All right. Well, don't do anything more on that. What was your answer to my question weeks until Succession? Start watching Succession?
I think I watched the first season before.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have to go back and watch it, I guess. But everyone's tweeting about it today, I saw.
It's time to carve out some time for Succession, Jeff.
What's it about? It's about a family of, I have seen the first season, because the first season, doesn't the son at the very end, he makes a coup attempt, right? Basically?
That's like kind of every episode is some version of that. It's a great show. It's very well written. It's got some really good, it's like a combination of like serious and funny. It's probably the only thing out there that I could say rivals Barry in terms of like, the balance of like you get a great laugh and then like a really intense scene.
I haven't watched Barry yet either.
Oh my God.
I've seen the first season of Barry. Do you watch shows like from the perspective of producing stuff?
I can't help it in a lot of cases, but I don't make anything like those shows. So that's easier for me to just sit back and enjoy.
Our show's not as good as Succession? How dare you?
but to take your question seriously, like when the Monday night, you know, the Mannings do the Monday night simulcast.
That's the
kind of thing. I've been around that. I've been around those kinds of guys. I've made that kind of stuff at ESPN. That I can't watch just as a fan the way most of my friends can. But, you know, Squid Games, I can just, you know, sit down and watch.
Does your wife like Squid Game?
Yeah, very into it.
So my wife does not like violent shows, but she loved that show. For some reason, it was like, because it's right. violent, but like not that. It's like violent in a weird way. You don't feel like people are getting murdered at the rate they are.
Yeah. Well, I think that's sort of the point, right?
Right.
They, like, you're supposed to forget that these are humans.
Yes. And I mean, 200 of them get murked in the first show. Like, it's just, you're like, and then I think also the background of the people, you're like, oh, like whatevs, like they know what they're signing up for, right? You're like, okay, cool, yeah. whatever. It's kind of a bad way to feel about humans.
I think they're trying, the makers of the show want you to sort of come to grips with the feelings you're having as you're like, oh, whatever, as you see 100 people get mowed down. And you're like, that's no big deal. They want you to process that you just had that feeling and that's wrong. But
yeah, are you watching in Korean with subtitles?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the way to go. Yeah. I don't like, my wife was watching the dub. It's weird.
No, I think that's not the way it was meant to be seen. And yeah. it makes you pay closer attention if you got to read the subtitles. And it's a show you have to pay close attention to. So
Yes. So all right, guys. Well, we have made it again. We ended, of course, with a show that I've never watched before, and I'm always like 3 months behind any of these shows. So I will catch up on Succession. I'll give you guys an update on where we stand with that in a couple of months. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll be back. I mean, are we still allowed to do gambling shows, Gabe? I don't know. I'm not sure if we're allowed.
I need to focus. I need two picks out of the Pac-12 every week, well, and then you know.
I get those. I'm my rate. So on the rate, I give out picks on the radio here. There. Let's see. I was. So I'm. 23-14 on the radio, Pac-12 okay. picks.
What's going on the podcast, man?
I'm 14-7 when I give out just picks on Twitter for a pack. I don't give out all the picks on Twitter because I have to give them all for my radio show. NFL, I'm not that on the NFL at all. I don't know, man. It's not been good, but I think I'm still getting paid to do a gambling show. So we'll make someone money because if you fade me, you'll make a lot of money.
You're overthinking it, Jeff. You started the show with this point. I'm going to make it now. Public was a big winner on Sunday. Don't get so complicated. You see a favorite you like, bet him.
Fuck you. You know, we keep losing. The second I
bet
take
the
next
Rams.
Week.
Just bet the Rams. The second, save money.
The Rams are favored by like 17 against Houston this weekend.
Yes.
Or Lions or something this weekend.
I'll just take the
17 point Rams. Yeah, because the Rams have never lost a game at home as huge favorites.
Don't overthink it, Jeff.
Remember last year? Huge favorite at home against the New York Football Jets?
Look, just maybe you need a dumb public bettor like me instead of a sharp like Matt in there really questioning the data. Just say, screw it, man. Let's go Rams. I'm killing it in Super Contest. I'm doing a great job.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely not.
I had a 5-0 week a week ago, and then we're going to be a winner this week, too.
I'm definitely not. Who do you have tonight? You have a game tonight? You pick Buffalo tonight?
No. We actually, I got to double check. I think we pulled a 3-2 on Sunday.
Oh, good for you. Okay.
Yeah, we didn't touch Buffalo.
Not good for me. So, all right, guys, we'll be back as usual, powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. Please rate, review, subscribe. Really appreciate getting a lot of feedback. And we'll be back on Thursday, and can't be any worse. So we'll have some winners for you guys. We'll do that next Thursday. All right, talk to you guys then. Goodbye.